Mitch!
And welcome to a holiday edition of the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Turkey Pump. My co-host, Dan, Dressing Ford.
I like dressing better than the turkey.
I like dressing a lot. Yankees call it stuffing.
Well, I think it's a different thing.
I heard it both ways. I think they just take dressing and put it up a turkey's ass and cook it.
That's the difference, though. Like, dressing is something you kind of cook separate. Like, I don't know about you.
Yeah, but it's the same material.
I think.
It's just used in different ways.
But, like, yeah, my grandma makes, like, just a big plate. Like, she puts it in, like a casserole dish? Yeah, like a giant glass casserole thing.
I'm more excited to, like, get back home on Saturday or Friday and eat my grandmother's leftover dressing than anything else.
Yep.
That's my favorite.
Yep. I don't even give a shit about the turkey. I don't give a shit about the... People talk about leftover turkey and turkey sandwiches. Don't give a fuck.
Give me the ham.
Don't give a fuck. I want... the good ham? Yeah. I'll eat sandwiches of that for like 3 weeks.
A little dressing. A little dressing sometimes mixed in there.
It's the dressing that brings me to Thanksgiving. Otherwise, I'd never
dressing,
go.
Yeah. Dressing and alcohol. But Dan, we're here. We're talking about Thanksgiving.
Oh, see, you're not really Southern.
What's that?
Because you don't drink at Thanksgiving when you're truly Southern.
Because
if you're truly Southern, then you're Baptist. And that's not... You never drink around your actual family.
No, Dan. A true Southerner drinks. They may not just show it. We're here. We're Thanksgiving weekend, Dan. Let's just really nothing... Was there anything from last week we're going to talk about? It's going to be a shorter show this week. Is there anything you want to mention that you saw last week before we kind of move on to this?
The biggest deal was Jim Mora getting fired after losing to USC. He did not have a bad run at UCLA. He did okay, but not good enough. And especially the thing that really came out about why UCLA fired him was the feeling that, you know, he did okay, but it was while USC was down, and that UCLA had not improved enough, considering that UCLA has been in the toilet for most of Jim Mora's run, and the feeling that they're like wasting this opportunity.
All right, well, Dan, let's jump ahead. Let's jump to this weekend in college football. Actually, let's jump to this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, Dan. I want to jump though to the league that rules Thanksgiving. I'm talking NFL. I know you don't watch a ton of NFL, Dan. I'm still going to make you pick games and hold you accountable here. So, little surprise for you here. Let's start with the first 12:30. Minnesota travels to Detroit. Minnesota, Dan, is 8-2. Detroit, 6-4. Matt Stafford, though, does own Thanksgiving. Minnesota's favored by 3. I think Matt Stafford will not continue to own Thanksgiving. Minnesota's in their powerful defense is going to win here. What do you think, a guy who doesn't know anything about either of these teams?
Isn't Minnesota's offensive line, like, hot garbage?
No, that was kind of last year. They're healthy this year. And they just blew out the Rams, who were the hottest-looking team in football. So
the sexiest team in football is what you should have said.
Yes, yes. Well, not those uniforms. Those are pretty awful.
What do you got against the Rams uniforms?
Have you seen where they wear the St. Louis Rams helmet still with, like, the color scheme from the L.A.? It looks awful. Because they can't change their jerseys because of NFL rules until, like, next year.
So, wait, why can't they change their jerseys?
Because it's the NFL. Just, bro, it doesn't make sense. For some arcane, conservative, white reason.
Have they talked about what they're going to change them to? Are they going back to, like...
I think they're just going to go white unis at home with the white old-school helmet.
So they're basically, like, going 60s Rams.
Yeah, which is what they should do.
See,
and then occasionally throw out the red... The yellow and blue.
See, I'm a big fan of, like, the yellow jersey home uniforms. Because that's
St. Louis.
No, that's old school. Like, in the 50s, the L.A. Rams wore yellow uniforms. And this is fun trivia. They were forced to change it by the league because you could not tell which team was which on black and white televisions and film strips.
Ooh.
Because the yellow just looked like white, you know, in black and white. And you couldn't tell the difference.
There you go. So who are you picking here?
So I will pick. That's my way of filibustering because I have no idea. And I'm going to go with Detroit because I think their line is still kind of shitty, even though you're saying it's fine. Give me Detroit.
All right. Let's jump now to the Los Angeles Chargers, not the Clippers, you would think sometimes, travel to take on your Cowboys, Dan. Chargers 4-6, Cowboys at 5-5. Chargers are 1-point favorites, kind of a pick 'em. Who you liking here?
I feel like the Chargers are going to be super motivated as an organization. I don't know if that filters down to the players, but like the reason why the Chargers are playing this year in a fucked up soccer stadium is because Jerry Jones just said, "Eh, fuck the Chargers. Move the LA Rams. They're more popular." So I feel like the Chargers as an organization, the coaching staff is going to have a lot of pressure on them to win that game.
Yeah, I think Dallas wins this because LA just played a game in LA on Sunday, and they've got to turn around, travel all the way to Dallas.
We'll see.
In the NFC East Coast.
They're in the Central Time Zone. I mean, it's not that
well,
bad.
It's the NFC East, though, so it still counts.
But see, what I was going
to
follow up.
And Dallas has to bounce back, Dan. I think Dallas gets the win here.
Well, see, what I was building up to is if you know anything about the history of the Chargers franchise, is games that they really, really, really want to win, they never win. So Cowboys are going to cruise.
Yeah. All right. And Dan, one last game. You know, we get a triple header now from the NFL on Thanksgiving Day. Your New York Giants, Eli Manning, travel to take on the team for Washington, the Skins, the R-words, whatever you want to call them. Washington's favored by 7.5. Give me the Redskins to bounce back. The R-words, excuse me. Give me the R-words to bounce back after a pretty crushing loss versus New Orleans last week.
The Giants are like shitty and discombobulated, right?
Yeah, Eli Manning is officially old. All the receivers are hurt.
Their coaches,
but they beat their, Kansas City,
their,
who was
their coach is a
the best team in football.
Their coach is a numbskull, right? Like, isn't that the deal with him? Like, he's, you know.
Yeah, he has, like, the big sheet he always uses, and it's, like, bigger than his torso. He's, like, carrying around. It looks like a guy selling something with a poster board, basically. Call and play.
I know he changed his haircut. Like, he went from having, like, the ultimate dad haircut to looking like a Tim Heidecker character. So, I gotta go with the team that's not the Giants then.
There you go, the R words in a win. Dan, let's jump now to college. Let's jump. You know, actually, the NCAA and the SEC do treat us to a Thanksgiving Day game, Dan. And how lucky are we for the Egg Bowl? Ole Miss travels to Mississippi State. Give me a second to find the spread on this. But who are you liking here before we kind of give you the point?
I mean, Mississippi State should beat the shit out of them, shouldn't they?
Yeah, you think so.
Like, I know that's part of that. I mean, Mississippi State have that kind of – there's a lot of rivalries like this where it's like two schools that are constantly holding each other back by existing, where if, you know, if the one didn't exist, the other one would probably be a major program.
Yeah.
But – and so that means Ole Miss should win, right? But, I mean, they just look like a bunch of grab asses. So give me Mississippi State.
You know what, Dan? I can't find a spread on that one. So we're just going to – we're going to make one up real quick. Mississippi State by 18.
Yeah. I got them. Fuck the points.
Yeah.
Fuck the points you just gave me.
All right. Let's jump to a game I know has points. This is Friday at noon, Dan. Big time in-state rivalry. Miami travels to Pittsburgh. Miami favorite by 14. I like Pittsburgh here. I don't trust Miami with the double-digit spread.
Well, I mean, they had a big spread last week they didn't cover. They fell short by 1 point because they just decided to, like, play like shit against Virginia for 3 quarters and then just spent the fourth quarter just dropping just elbows, just Randy Savage elbows on Miami, on Virginia. The entire fourth quarter. Give me Miami, because I don't think Pitt's secondary can do anything.
All right, let's jump down to another big-time rivalry, Dan. That's Missouri-Arkansas. Missouri favored by 11. Do we trust Missouri to win by 11 here?
Is it again Missouri who?
Arkansas.
Yeah, Missouri.
The Razorbacks. Arkansas.
Missouri's going to win that by 20.
You think so? I mean, Arkansas played Mississippi State close last week, so.
Yeah, but Arkansas is a gutless team with a bad defense.
Well, but Dan, you forget my famous theory, though. If a coach gets fired, give me that team the next week.
But he hadn't been fired yet.
Oh, I thought Malima was fired already.
Nah, he's still hanging on.
Still sticking that toothbrush down his throat. All right, Dan, I like Missouri.
What the hell did that mean?
Burt bulimia.
Oh!
Yeah,
I thought there was some kind of, like, crazy Burt story I hadn't heard yet.
No, I was just making fun of food eating disorders. Dan, let's shut now, Dan, to the biggest game played in Florida this week. South Florida at University of Central Florida. South Florida's catching 11. Give me South Florida here. I think they're going to beat UCF. I'm calling it now.
Historically, you would be right. And there's definitely an element of – we saw this last year when Houston got upset late in the year because it was kind of – when it became really obvious to the players that Herman was leaving. Like, they kind of checked out a little bit mentally, and we see this sometimes with guys in the mid-majors where it's clear they're leaving for a better job. Central Florida is a much better team than South Florida. Central Florida should win a blowout because they're the kind of team that blows people out, you know. But I kind of think, Charlie, I'm taking South Florida for the same reason.
Ooh.
I'm not sure they'll end up winning, but that's too many points for a team that knows that their coach is probably a goner.
Yeah. And Dan, a game on a Friday. And you know my belief on games played on weird days. It just and with Thanksgiving break. Like, actually, I'll tell you right now, I think 90% of my picks this week are the underdog. It's just a weird week when you're picking games. Sometimes you just throw logic out the window. Here's one where I will not throw logic out the window. Virginia Tech at Virginia. Virginia Tech favored by 7.5. They haven't looked so good lately. They're going to bounce back. They're going to beat Virginia by a lot.
Yeah, Virginia having that good game against Miami just got you free money because this spread is way too small.
Yeah. All right, Dan, let's jump let's jump down to Texas. Let's talk Friday, 8 o'clock, Texas Tech, Texas. The Red Raiders are a 10-point underdog. Can they stop the Longhorns from going to a bowl?
Nope.
Essentially.
Nope. Texas is going to beat the piss out of them, and Texas Tech is going to spend the entire offseason wondering if this is Cliff's last year.
Yeah, I'm taking Texas Tech here because it's Thanksgiving weekend and nothing makes sense.
Well, so, see, there's one thing that always makes sense, and is that Texas Tech is never going to win anything that matters to anybody.
Let's shop now. Noon on ESPN or ABC. Georgia at Georgia Tech. The Jackets are an 11-point underdog. Looked awful last week. I think, though, Dr. Jekyll's coming out for Georgia Tech this week. I think Tech keeps it close.
I mean, I'm taking Georgia Tech because I gotta see Kirby Strong defend that option once in his life. I haven't seen it yet.
Or Kirby Smart, even.
Who did I say?
Kirby Strong. I guess that's Charlie Strong's illegitimate. Are you saying that Kirby Smart is Charlie Strong's illegitimate son?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That was your
Is
this your way of breaking the news?
Yeah, I'm really good at, like, very incompetently breaking news. Yeah. I mean, when they were at Alabama and they would play like Georgia Southern, you know, as like the FCS game or, you know, the Citadel or whoever, Alabama always had trouble defending those teams. And then they'd like, hey, we have way more talent. But those teams would like do way better against them than they should have.
Yeah.
And like, Georgia Tech, I ain't seen him be able to stop that shit yet. And,
Dan, here's the thing. It's a noon game after Thanksgiving. In Georgia Tech, sometimes with these noon games, like, weird stuff happens, Dan. I think we saw it last year at the FSU-Louisville game. It's just, sometimes you just never know when teams play this early. Especially when two okay teams play each other.
Sure.
That's fair to say.
I think Georgia ends up still winning it because Ted Roof is going to get himself fired.
Yeah, Georgia Tech will fuck it up.
Georgia Tech.
Tech will be up like 30 with 2 minutes left and fuck it
and
up.
And then Ted Roof's defense like just gives up touchdown, 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 touchdown.
Yeah. All on onside kick.
Yeah.
It's going to be awful. Let's jump now to the big game. Well, not this year. It's not so big. Ohio State at Michigan at noon.
They always play.
I want to talk about this real quick. When this season started, Dan, did you think Ohio State, Michigan, though, would be a noon game? I know they always do.
It always is noon.
Wasn't it 3:30 last year?
No, it's always noon.
I thought it was 3:30 last year.
It's always noon.
I don't believe that.
That's the tradition.
That game should be at 8 o'clock.
Michigan despises playing night games. They didn't play their first night game until like 2 or 3 years
ago. Well, it's because Michigan is very cheap, Dan, and they don't want to pay those light bills. Michigan, though, an 11.
Well, I think the actual history of it is when it starts, especially like before global warming fucked our country up and fucked our globe up. Like, it used to be in the fall, it got really cold in Michigan. And it's like, oh, you don't want to be playing a game at night. Like, the only time it's going to be decent to be outside is when there's sun out. And so they just didn't play.
It's kind of like almost
it's the same reason.
LSU plays most of their games after yeah. six.
It's the same reason why – it's the flip side of why LSU always play – like, had night games before anybody else did.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's too goddamn hot. Like, you're going to die.
Yeah. So who do we like here? Michigan's an 11.5 point underdog, Dan. All year, I've been probably saying Ohio State might win this game. I did it all last year. Give me Michigan here, catching 11.5. I don't like this Ohio State team at all. I know Michigan just lost. Harbaugh's going to get his first win. He will beat Ohio State this Saturday.
They're going to lose by 30.
In the Big House. In Ann Arbor.
They're going to lose by 30.
I got Michigan here because nothing makes sense.
They're playing their third string quarterback who's garbage.
It doesn't – that's what heroes are made.
John O'Korn could not beat a high school team.
Damn, this is when legends are made.
If John O'Korn in his last game as a Michigan quarterback beats Ohio State after murdering this team this year, you know, when he was he was their original backup and then they benched him for the third stringer who then got a concussion last weekend. He beat Ohio State, a Michigan – that would actually, like, break some people's brains in Michigan because they'd be like, how did this guy finally be the one to do it?
That's why it'll happen, Dan. That's why it'll happen. Because it doesn't make – this weekend's about nothing making sense, Dan. That's my theme. Let's jump now to, I think, the biggest game in the Big Ten this weekend, though, let's be honest. Indiana travels to Purdue. Indiana, a 2.5-point underdog. This is probably the one favorite I'm going to take all week, Dan. Give me Purdue. Purdue's going to blow out Indiana.
I think so, too. I think that's a huge coaching mismatch. You know, I think that's a big coaching mismatch. That's
but
why
both teams have had
and it's a
better years than I think we thought.
And it's
though.
A battle
is that fair
over
to say?
Well, I think Purdue. We kind of Purdue did it. I'm not so shocked at what Purdue's final record's going to be. I'm shocked at how they're going to do it because Purdue, like the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, looked like a legitimately really good team, and then they sort of turned back into Purdue.
They regress towards the mean, if you will.
Yeah, and
a little math.
And you know, now they're gonna in the finishing product of like finishing 6-6, if they do beat Indiana, that kind of makes sense for like, oh, you know, they got a good coach in there and he coached them up a little bit. Indiana did end up a little bit better than we thought, but their offense has gotten worse as the season's gone on. So the more that DeBoer has had his fingers in their offense, the worse it gets.
All right, Dan, I want to jump now to the second biggest game in Florida this weekend. Didn't think we'd be saying this. Florida State at the University of Florida. Florida State's a 5-point favorite. Give me the Gators. Gators are going
to
win.
If Florida State doesn't win this game, Jimbo needs to go look for another job. Yeah. Because they can't.
I think Florida State's going to lose.
They can't fire him because his buyout is huge. There's no interest in it. But this will become the most toxic situation of, like, a coach and a fan base who do not like each other if he doesn't win this game. Because this Florida team, this is the worst Florida team I've seen in a long time.
And I think, I don't know if the Florida team wins, but I don't think they lose on more than, I think it'll be like a last-second FSU field goal or something ridiculous. Dan, let's shut now. I want to talk about this one before we get to the big ones here. I'm talking Louisville. I'm traveling to Kentucky. Kentucky won the game last year. Kentucky's a 10-point underdog. I don't give a shit. Give me Kentucky catching 10, Dan. Kentucky's going to win this game outright. Kentucky owns Louisville.
It certainly seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like these, you're looking at two really inconsistent teams. Give me Kentucky because
I thought Kentucky, Dan, what I saw until about the fourth quarter, they played pretty good against Georgia. Georgia's a much better team than Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville's defense is just so trash.
Yeah. And that's kind of what won Georgia the game was Kentucky, you know, not the, they threw like a late interception and kind of screwed them. I think Kentucky's going to bounce back and win, and they're going to get 8 wins. They're going to have an 8-win Kentucky team, Dan.
How do we even deal with this? Mark Stoops is going to get a huge job next year, and everyone's going to be baffled.
Let's talk.
He's going to be the next two more games. Tennessee steals Kentucky's coach, and everyone's going to freak the fuck out.
I want to talk about 3 more games before we get to the big one, Dan. I want to start with the Apple Cup, Saturday, 8 o'clock, Washington State at Washington. Washington's a 9-point favorite. Give me the Cougs. Sorry, West Destiny. I think the Cougs win.
I think the Huskies win. I don't think they cover.
Okay. Let's jump now. Notre Dame at Stanford. Stanford's catching 2. Notre Dame did not look so good against Navy last week, Dan. Not like a team that was a top four team.
There was a little a little bit of recovering from getting your ass beat by Miami. There was a little bit of that.
And Navy's not a bad team, but she should have more talent than Navy.
Navy's coach might be coaching Nebraska next year.
Yeah. I like Stanford catching two. Stanford's gonna figure it out. I don't know if they're going to beat Notre Dame. They're not going to lose by two.
About that. I'm picking Notre Dame because has Stanford beaten any talented team this year?
Was Notre Dame that talented?
They're more talented than the Pac-12 is, other than USC.
Maybe. All right, I want to talk about one more before we jump to the Iron Bowl. That's going to be Clemson at South Carolina. What? The Gamecocks are 14-point underdog. This is my lock of the week, Dan. This is my upset lock of the week. Give me the Gamecocks catching 14. They may almost beat Clemson outright.
Oh, man. If they do, that would be the greatest, like, rivalry fuck you of all time.
Since I think Oklahoma State beat an undefeated Oklahoma.
Well, the greatest of all time is Pitt, West Virginia, where West Virginia was literally all they had to do was beat, like, a 3-8 Pitt team.
Yeah. And played one of the worst.
And they would have gone to the national championship, which is huge. It was literally about to be the greatest moment in the history of the state of West Virginia. And then their biggest rival just said, fuck you, and kicked him in the dick.
Yeah. There was actually a great game day feature on that about a month ago, Dan. I think one of the few times I woke up early enough to watch game day. They did a good look back at that game.
Yeah. There's also a great great retrospective on SB Nation this year.
Yes. I think our YouTube boy, KTO, did a good video about it, too. So, want to shout him out, our son.
Sure.
He doesn't know it yet, but our athletic son.
Yeah, we haven't told him he was adopted, and he was really our son.
Yes.
Our big, beautiful YouTube son.
Was there a game you want to talk about before we get to the Iron Bowl, Dan?
I forgot that Army-Navy is next week. So.
Yeah, it's next week. We honor the troops on the show, Dan.
Sure. We're so...
You think Trump will be at the game? He was at the game last year.
Of course he will be. Of course he will be. The commander in chief,
yeah, gotta be. Did they ever interview Obama on the CBS set?
I thought they always do.
I don't remember. I remember the Trump thing. I don't remember Obama coming in there.
He may have not been in studio. No.
I'm looking for some spicy mustard.
Do you have any Muslim flavor?
Is this halal? I think Navy is haram. Go Army.
God.
You would think that, you wouldn't think that if you heard this and didn't know us. let's jump down to the Iron Bowl, Dan, the biggest Iron Bowl ever. Alabama, 5-point favorite. Who do you like here? I'm going to refrain from picking. I just want to talk the game with you.
Auburn's going to win it. Fuck them. Auburn's going to win it.
Auburn going to win, Dan?
Auburn's going to win.
Why's Auburn going to win?
Auburn's going to win because...
Auburn's going to win the football game! No, why?
Where's that from? Is that a thing?
That's from the greatest call in the history of college sports, Dan. That's from the Kick Six and the Auburn radio announcer, who, when he realized what was going to happen, just goes, Auburn's going to win the football game. It's like my favorite moment. I mean, the Kick Six, I want to talk about that real quick, Dan, actually. I was going to get into it. I want to talk it now. I think that's my favorite sports moment ever, was the Kick Six, because it made no sense. I don't know.
It's an obscure rule. It happened. It's also an obscure rule where it's like, hey, I didn't, like, until that happened in the NFL, about 10 years ago, Hester did it, yeah. And I didn't even know you could do that until that.
I wouldn't have known, Dan, but you could always do kick block return on Madden.
I didn't know. I don't think that was in there until the Hester thing.
Maybe it wasn't.
I feel like they put that in there after Hester did it. It's like, well, fuck, we got to animate this.
Yeah. Easily a top three, top five moment in college football. This Iron Bowl is produced, we saw what happened in 2010. We reviewed it last week. One of the better rivalries, and with Michigan Ohio State kind of being shitty this year, this is kind of the key game here for Thanksgiving weekend, I think.
It's definitely the biggest game of the weekend.
With so many storylines with it, yeah.
And it's the ability to, kick Alabama out. Because very few games.
Well, maybe.
If they lose this, they're out.
What if Georgia loses to Georgia Tech, then beats Auburn, and Auburn beats Alabama? Would a one-loss Alabama team not?
They're not going in because they don't have any wins.
I guarantee they would.
No, they wouldn't. They'd be fucked. They'd be total because all Alabama doesn't have a quality win. Like, who is Alabama's best win? They need this Auburn win.
Miss State, yeah.
Because otherwise their best win is Mississippi State. They won't have a 13th game. They won't be a conference champion. They won't have quality wins. They're dead.
Yeah. Probably a straight ride of the Cotton Bowl is what you're saying if they lose this game.
And then they either have a sleepwalk game like that year they played Utah in the Sugar Bowl and got their ass beat, or they just, like, take out so much aggression.
They beat up, like they play Central Florida, and Central Florida just quits football the next year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing, though, is that Nick Saban doesn't have a great track record in non-BCS bowl games, does he? Because he spends too much time recruiting.
No, because he generally doesn't care. If they don't win the national championship, he's going to go right back to – which is not the dumbest move. I don't know if it does the most integrity, but it's not the dumbest thing to go focus on recruiting if you ain't winning the title.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, why do you think Auburn will win this?
Because Alabama's defense is full of injuries.
Ain't played nobody, Paul.
Their defense hasn't had a lot. Their defense is very heavily injured. It wasn't their best unit. This is one of the weakest Alabama teams that we have seen in the Nick Saban era, and it's been covered.
But if you watch like SEC Network, I think Booger McFarland still thinks they're like the 2011 Alabama.
It's been covered up by the fact that the SEC has like collapsed as a conference.
Yeah, especially on offense.
Yes, especially on offense. And defensively, I mean, Mississippi State is nowhere near as talented or as good as Auburn. Mississippi State ran all over them.
Yeah. So, Dan, do you think – because, Dan, I go back to our SEC preview show. Didn't I kind of talk you into picking Auburn? Or is that on the lost cast?
I think I was way into Auburn before the season, and then they kind of had, mm-hmm. like, weird rough patches. And now I've jumped back on because
– yeah.
I just don't think this Alabama. This is the other big key to Alabama. If they get, we have not seen them have to come back from being down 14-0 or 17-0, and that's how Auburn beat the piss out of Georgia. They got the early lead, and then Georgia was just done. Jalen Hurts.
Well, and
Jalen Hurts can make some really good plays, but
yeah, they stopped the run and they forced Georgia to pass. I don't think Jalen Hurts can do that. I think he can run over Auburn's defense, though. He's a little more athletic. And Fromm's a good runner, actually. That's not fair to say to Fromm, but he's a much better runner than Fromm. I'm just not – I guess I look at this game as an Auburn fan. I'm like, this is probably like 28-17 Alabama.
It just
feels that way. Maybe I'm wrong.
I just don't see how this Alabama team can score with Auburn, if that makes sense. Because, like –
no, because Auburn – I think Auburn has the advantage at quarterback.
Alabama's not very good at running the ball conventionally. Like, this is one of – again, Alabama, whenever they played a decent defense, they struggle to run the ball without Hurts being involved.
Yeah.
Like, they're not – this.
Now, Hurts is a guy
– they're this, made the difference. Yeah.
Dan, let's break this down real quick. Let's go Alabama offense versus Auburn offense. Who's the winner here to you?
Auburn's offense is significantly better.
All right, Alabama defense with the injuries versus Auburn's defense. Which
I,
is
think
still
a, big. I think it's kind of like a wash. I don't
wash. That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah,
kind of a wash. This is where I think Alabama wins. Alabama special teams are 10 times better than Auburn's.
They definitely are. That is definitely the truth. But
and I wonder if this is a game where special teams will make the difference because we've seen it in this rivalry before, Dan.
Well, punt, you say punt, special teams, but Alabama still can't kick. Like they still can't kick a field goal. So
yeah. Well, I just meant like returning a kickoff because Auburn's kickoff team has been one of the worst in the SEC.
That's true.
I think they gave up what 3 or 4 returns on the season now. That's where Alabama's going to win if they win. I'll say, and I think that's how they will win. Alabama will win because their special teams are still better than anyone else in the nation. As down as Alabama is, they still got like 4 stars on their kickoff team. It's a good team.
It's a good, not great team, though.
The special teams is a great team. I don't know about offense or defense for Alabama, but I think special teams might make the difference in this game.
I'm really looking forward now to the scenario playing out where, like, SEC doesn't get a team this year.
They will. If Auburn wins out, they're in. Georgia wins out, they're in.
I don't know about Georgia.
If
Georgia loses to Georgia Tech and then beats Auburn in the championship, I don't think they get in.
Who would go in, though?
They just fuck them. They just tell them, we go with 3.
Or you go with my dad's proposal. You just go 8 teams. Dan, I've had a discussion with my father about this. He agreed. Get rid of the playoffs. He's fine with everyone just arguing about who's best.
We don't even do the BCS. We just go back to like 1960 where they vote on it before the Bulls are even played.
Yeah. Because he said, you know what? Who cares? It's college. It shouldn't be that serious. And I agreed. How about that?
Both of you are trolls.
We are. I come from a family of trolls.
The Gilbert.
Dan, before we get out of here, I want to talk Thanksgiving. We'll talk the holiday. I want to talk Thanksgiving movies.
There's so many of what? Those. Oh, well, no, think of those classic Thanksgiving movies.
But movies you associate with watching around the time of Thanksgiving. Is there like a... Because I think for a lot of people, it's pretty random. Like, some people, it's Star Wars. Some people, it's something, you know, like a fam, like a Disney movie, maybe Beauty and the Beast. What is it for you? Is there a movie you like to watch around Thanksgiving or your family watches? Or that you have memories of maybe going to see?
Well,
in the cinema.
When I think of Thanksgiving movies, it's something that everybody can watch. And in my case, it is the Thin Man movie. Because they were
the what?
The Thin Man movies from the 30s.
What? I wish you could see my face. What?
The Thin Man. Have you never seen The Thin Man?
No. What am I from, a French incestual family in the 30s? What are you talking? What's The Thin Man?
The Thin Man. They're a series of movies. They're based on books by Dashiell Hammett. They're famous for the fast talking, like, you know, the back and forth, like, oh,
What are they about?
Well, it stars William Powell and Myrna Loy, and
I don't know who any of that
is. Okay, they're both classic
actors.
No
one listening knows who that is.
They played Nick and Nora Charles, and Nick is a former private detective who's retired because he married Nora, who's extremely wealthy. And so they, you know, all they want to do is sit around getting drunk all day with their dog. And they're like both extremely rich, always just sitting around getting drunk.
They keep solving mysteries. So they're kind of like Batman, or they keep solving mysteries?
Well, like every movie, I mean, the movies are kind of formulaic, but like something pulls Nick out of retirement to come like solve this mystery.
And this is what you and your family, you would sit around.
Well,
and watch
yeah, because they're like classic movies and it's something the whole family can watch.
Okay, we would watch, like, Star Wars. That's what I was...
Okay, but see, here's the problem with Star Wars. My mom hates Star Wars because I don't like that fake fake space bullshit, quote-unquote.
It's not fake. Star Wars is real. It's history.
It's fake. It's fake space bullshit. I don't like that. It's not real.
But another Thanksgiving classic movie my family would like to watch, too? Little thing I like to call Rocky. The whole Rocky series.
Okay, again, my mom's not going to watch Rocky. I don't want to see them people punch each other.
It won an Oscar.
She don't give a shit. She don't want to see violence.
She'll watch a movie from the 30s.
Well, yeah. That's bad.
When you said for the whole family, Dan, I thought you'd be like, you know, like Beauty and the Beast or Cinderella.
Well, that's not fun for the whole family.
Wizard of Oz.
That's for kids.
That's not for the whole family.
It's not. There's no adult. Okay, this is the thing that, like, millennials have fucked up about the world, where shit that's supposed to be for kids is now being, like, oh yeah, that's fun for the whole family. No, it's not. Beauty and the Beast is for 9-year-olds. No, actually, no, it's for 5-year-olds.
It is, because the live-action Beauty and the Beast, Dan, is the top drawing movie in the whole world.
Yeah, right, because now people have gone sick in the mind. People want to sit around watching kids' movies instead of watching because
they're better.
They're not. There's no way. There's no way that live-action Beauty and the Beast was better than that cartoon.
Okay, but Up. It's probably better than your pencil-thin mustache movies. Or
it's not.
Slender Man.
I'm almost positive that William Powell is name-checked in pencil-thin mustache, the song. I would be. I'd be willing to bet money.
I thought you were talking about Slender Man at first. I was like, your family watches HBO crime docs.
Yes.
All right, Dan. Before we get out of here, there is one thing I want to talk about that I'm hyped about. We talked about it a little bit last year, and we talked about FX's. Was it? Made it were true crime history shows. Last year they did OJ. Dan, this year they're doing Versace.
Mm.
And the murder. The assassination of William Versace.
I'm pretty sure it's Giovanni. Giovanni? Does that sound right?
Yeah, it does. Giovanni. Are you hyped for this? It's got Ricky Martin, Penelope Cruz.
I don't give other people. I don't give a single solitary shit.
Did you see how awesome the OJ one was, though?
I mean, it was all right. I didn't love it like other people did.
That's ridiculous. You know what? This podcast is...
I did enjoy Feud. Did you see Feud?
No.
Feud was about the legendary feud between actresses Joan Crawford and Betty Davis.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it, though. It was pretty good.
It was very good. And
I thought the Versace one would be up because I know you're a big Ricky Martin guy.
I'm not a Ricky Martin guy.
You're big... She Bangs is one of your favorite songs. It's your ringtone.
I'm all about Joan Crawford. She's risen from the grave. Joan Crawford has risen.
That's Jamal Crawford from the grave. Right?
Yeah, that's definitely it.
All right, before we got any last thing. Any last thing you want to say? Anything you're thankful for? Let's do that.
I'm thankful for all of the great movies that were given to us in the 20s and 30s and 40s because you don't respect them.
I'm thankful for all the movies that broke the color barrier post the racist 20s and 30s movies that Dan liked.
When were that? When did that happen? Because I don't think Hollywood's done that yet.
Talking about a little movie called Shaft.
Samuel L. Jackson? Like, not even the TV show that people actually watch?
How about... Yeah, not a lot.
Yeah, Hollywood's still racist.
How about the Boss N-Word series,
Dan? I think that's not a series. I think that's just the one. Starring the legendary Fred Williamson.
Black exploitation films are great, and that's what I'll be watching this Thanksgiving by myself.
I know you will be watching that alone. Because as soon as you tell somebody, hey, everybody, I got a DVD copy of Boss N-Word, everybody flees.
I've got it. You know what, Dan? I have a DVD copy of Song of the South in my closet, hidden.
Because you're worried Disney will show up and break your door down and take it.
That or, like, woke people will, like, find me and kill me. Go either way.
They call you Boss. I won't say the next line of the song.
You know what I'm thankful for, Dan? Everything. How about that? A little cop out there.
Even Charles Manson? Ha! Got
even
you.
Even Charles Manson. Because you know what Charles Manson showed us?
That it was okay to be weird?
It's okay to be weird. And his son Marilyn Manson gave us tons of great songs.
And
his sister.
And taught us how to blow ourselves.
Exactly. Moved a rib, just like Rand Paul.
Well, Rand Paul didn't do it voluntarily. His neighbor did it for him. Because his neighbor had to get a spear in on that sumbitch.
I was trying to I couldn't think of another Manson that would have been Charles Manson's father. I'm thankful Charles Manson's dead. I'm thankful David Cassidy has passed away, and I'm thankful for whoever does next.
I'm thankful for all of the three stars in Hollywood who didn't rape anybody. They know who they
God
are.
God bless you, Vern Troyer. Peter Dinklage. I can't think of a third little person. There we go. Thank you.
One of the little people from that TLC show.
Yeah, Little People, Big World. You know they're divorced.
Yeah, I heard.
I caught a glimpse of Little People. That's actually the new format for the podcast after this year, Dan. It's it's just a recap of Little People, Big World. From the beginning to the end.
Yeah, we follow them throughout. It'll be like Go Bayside, but for Little People, Big.
It's actually a great idea. Well, that's been a good idea in about 15 years.
We need more time for that to get more campy.
Yeah. So that's my thank you of the week to everybody, and especially to all the little people in Hollywood. Thank you.
I just want to thank William Powell.
And Dink. That was my third one, Dink.
I just want to thank William Powell and Tyrone Power and all the great stars of yesteryear on the silver screen.
All the communists.
Yeah, especially the communists. Fuck those rats.
Especially the KR. Pretty cool in my book, yeah.
Yeah, fuck those rat bastards, you know.
What about The Dictator? Are you a fan?
Huge fan.
Oh, the movie The Dictator?
Yeah.
Charlie Chaplin?
It's really good.
I like the speech. I saw the speech the other day. I enjoyed it.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch the whole movie, but it was pretty good.
You should. Charlie Chaplin's a genius. All of his stuff's good.
Yeah. No.
You know what? It's really good to be. It's actually a lot better to watch a comedy where nobody's fucking talking, because they just do shit that's funny instead of like, oh, here's a bunch of bullshit. Just like, oh yeah, the guy did a fucking backflip and landed on his feet and then fell ass first into a threshing machine. This is very funny. But on that note, we say goodbye, farewell, and play the music, Jason.